Bible reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 to 10, in the Church Bibles, page number 868. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses beginning from 1 till verse 10. The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris, for bringing that reading. This morning, we are going to meditate on the 37th chapter in the book of Ezekiel from our Ezekiel series. How would you find this title? Is it attractive? Is it familiar to you already? What is rigor mortis? I hope some of you who has experience in the medical field must be aware of this term, rigor mortis. Does anyone would like to shout it out, the meaning of this term, rigor mortis?
It's a physiological phenomenon immediately occurs after the death of the body.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you very much. It's a good introduction. Yes. It is a Latin word. Rigor. It means stiffness. Mortis of death. It is one of the recognizable signs of the death. After a few hours of a person or an animal dies, the joints of the body get stiffened and it gets locked in that place. So the stiffening of death is called rigor mortis. This is the third stage, or you can say like advanced stage of the death, and it is certain for sure, there is no possibility of any life remaining in the body. In the passage of Ezekiel, we are going to see about the rigor mortis to the resurrection. A new life being given to the dead. It is like something we witness from impossible to possible. From dead to alive, from giving a new life, resurrecting in body from the dead. It's wonderful, isn't it? It is a suitable sermon to preach on Easter Sunday services or on baptismal service. But we are all Easter people. So this sermon should suit for all our ages and all our times. The verse 1 starts like that. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. Ezekiel is saying, again, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Previously, the hand of the Lord was upon him in chapter 3. He said that time the Lord was taking him into the valley, into the plain. And what was he seeing there? He saw that I saw a glorious appearance of the Lord. After the third chapter, again, the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, and this time he was taken up into God's temple. And God was showing all detestable practices that were happening inside the temple. And now, in the 37th chapter, third time, Ezekiel is saying again, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Now we can expect what Ezekiel would have thought at this time. Where am I going to go now? What would be this time? What God is going to show me this time? The Lord taken him into the valley. This time again the valley, but the valley was filled with bones. And the bones none of the bones were connected to each other. It was not formed like a full skeleton body. It were all like pieces. It were all like the bones of different parts of the body. He led me back and forth among them. It must have been a tremendous trip for Ezekiel, going back and forth in the valley filled with bones. I remember during one of our summer holidays, we went to India and we visited our friend's place, which was terribly affected by tsunami in 2004. When we were walking along the beach, our friend was explaining the aftermath of tsunami. And he showed the roads on both sides and he said, these were the places where the dead bodies were piled up. We were really disturbed. We were really shocked to see the places after the effect of tsunami. Imagine, how would it be for Ezekiel? When he was going back and forth in the valley filled with a heap of disjoint bones still lying there before him. It must have been a tremendous trip. And Ezekiel says here, the Lord asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. It must have been Ezekiel's answer must have been an exact and correct answer at that place. And this should be the answer of every godly man. Son of man, do you think these bones come to life? God asked this question. Is it possible? And his simple answer was, Lord, you alone know that. Sometimes in our life, in our human thinking and in our own ability, some of the tasks must seem highly impossible for us. But for God, everything is possible. He can make things upside down. Even in our doubtful situations, it is better to leave it in God's hands because His way of working is completely unimaginable and not comprehensible. It was a clever answer. It was a brilliant answer what Ezekiel was saying there. Lord, you alone know. No. Because of your sovereignty, you can do anything, Lord. The ball was returning back to God's court. Jeremiah, one of the prophets who was living around the same time of Ezekiel, he was prophesying against the army of Babylonians when they were besieging the Jerusalem. He said this verse, "O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show love to thousands. Great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty. Great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds." This is how we need to respond during our desperate situations. In our hopeless situations, He is our hope. In this rigor mortis to resurrection experience, this fabulous transformation that has been happening before the eyes of Ezekiel, there were two things mainly happening. The new hope was given and new spirit was given to the life. New hope, a new life was given to the dried and scattered and shattered bones. And the new spirit was breathed into the new life. Ezekiel was commanded to do two prophecies here. One was the prophecy to the bones lying in the valley. And the another one was a prophecy to the breath. Breathe into the bones. New hope. Then the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." It is a well-attested anatomical fact. Although the ears have many bones, but bones do not have ears. To preach to the dead bone is more futile than preach to the deaf. Ezekiel must have had a great believer. He must have been a great believer in the Lord, and he just had no sign of any hesitancy. He went on. He just obeyed Lord's command. And he went on and said, "Prophesied. So I prophesied as I was commanded." So there was no sign of any doubt. It was something like, "I will do as I have been instructed. Let God do the rest of the things." God's creation of human being should be remembered at this time, which gives a life-changing scenario. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground." I think Ezekiel must have got motivation from this verse. He got confirmed from this verse. If the God of Creator could create a living human from the unliving, non-living dust, then the same God can give life to these dead bones. Sometimes we need to remember all these awesome scriptures from the Bible, what God has done, for us to gain hope and confidence. Another thing to notice here in this passage, the dry bones were lying in the valley, and obvious it is to see that they were all unburied. Proper burial is of paramount importance for the ancient Northeastern cultures, not just for the sake of the bereaved, but just for the sake of the deceased as well. To be deprived of burial is a final insult and ultimate degradation. It is a destiny fit to the truly cursed people. The bones proclaim that their owners were not the victims of the battle alone, but also for the divine judgment. Ezekiel must have gone through a cinematic visualization with audio and video visual effect. When he was prophesying, he says this, "I was commanded and I prophesied. There was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone." What an audiovisual effect God has given to Ezekiel. Rattling of bones. He is hearing something. Once he prophesied what he was commanded by God, once he was on the mission, he could see the effect of God's hands upon there. Bone to bone. "Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them." Ezekiel was not only the prophet, we have seen that Ezekiel was a priest as well. So we can understand, during his priesthood, he must have sacrificed animals as an offering to the Lord. So he must have visualized, and he must have been a professional by that time, seeing how individual bones are connected, how precisely they were joined together. And he could see the layers covering upon the bones. First the muscles, the tendons, followed by muscles, and at last the skin. Yes, the body has formed, the bones have been fixed, the skin has covered the body. What else? But there was no breath in them. It was just like a corpse lying on the ground. There was no life in it. It could not do any function, non-functional. It could not execute anything. It was just like a dead body. Everything was made perfect, but there is no life in it. Then the Lord was asking, commanding Ezekiel to do the second prophecy. Prophesy to the breath. Now Ezekiel did as he was asked. He was prophesying to the breath, "Come breath from the four sides of the winds, and enter into this body, into this slain, for it will come into life." Again, we should remember Genesis. When God made Adam, the first man, he must have been lying as a clay man on the ground. But Lord didn't stop his work there. He breathed into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. The same thing God is asking Ezekiel here. Breathe. Prophesy to the breath. Let it breathe into the body. And we read in the passage, the life entered into the body, and they were all coming to life. They were all standing as a vast army. God can do impossible things to possible things. He alone can do these things, but with the help of Ezekiel this time. We, the believers of Christ, are filled with the Spirit of God. We remember this whenever we come and take our baptisms services. We read this verse. Paul was stating this to Romans. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this." from a rigor mortis to resurrection. We are all breathed with God's Holy Spirit. We are all filled with the new spirit, new creation. All the world has gone. Everything has been buried already. God has breathed His Holy Spirit into us. Time for self-reflection now. How about our individual spiritual life? Is there a dryness in the spirituality? We are all Christians. We have received God's Holy Spirit. As He has promised, He has filled us with the Spirit. But the level of spirituality varies depending upon the exercise or the practice or the time we spend with God. How about our life? Is our bones dry yet? Has it been changed? Is there a dryness? The spiritual dryness can lead to a fault sense. Sometimes it tricks us and it seems like we have reached the full satisfaction. Hope you all remember the two men going and praying in the temple. One was a Pharisee and another one was a tax collector. Both of them went up to the temple. They prayed to God. The Pharisee was praying, "Lord, I am better than everyone. I am doing fasting twice a week. I am paying all my tithes from all that I have accrued." The prophecy had a thought and he mentioned as well, "I am not even a sinner or a person like the tax collector." This was his prayer. So the Pharisee had a thought that he has attained his fullness in spirituality. He thought he has reached the brim of the spirituality. But he did not recognize that it was a false sense that he had in him. There was a false sense of satisfaction. We never need to be satisfied. We always should be thirst of God's people. We need to thirst for God's Holy Spirit to dwell in us completely. Sometimes, as we saw, because of the busyness in the world, because of the materialistically the world is becoming, we are driven out. We are completely away from us. Even our souls, we are completely away from us. We'll be running away for our jobs. We'll be running away for our money. We'll be running away for our family and children. Lots of other activities. But we miss to have a time of solitude in the presence of God. We individually need to have a silent time, a quiet time, preferably personal time between us and God alone. Every day, it should be a practice. Maybe as a clock has changed today, we can start practicing that from now onwards. We can start like in the morning or whatever time it conveniences you. Just start with 10 minutes. I am on that board as well. Just start for 10 minutes. A quiet time, a solitude time to reflect in God's presence. And let us... We can read the daily bread or we can read the Bible passage and meditate and reflect upon God. Sometimes we can hear some of the songs and we can think about the songs. And we can give sometimes praises and thanks for God. Don't bring prayer requests because it will never end. It might go until the end of the day. Sometimes to reflect in the presence of God. We need to be ready. We need to be alert all the time, filled, connected with the Holy Spirit. I read about a man who was a chef in a Catholic monastery. He was working there sincerely, preparing and serving food for the monks and many of the visitors coming there. According to their sacramental practice, they need to be prepared before they go into the communion meal. So they were all preparing, doing prayers and everything, and one man went and asked the chef, cook, are you ready? And he said, yes, I am always ready. I am ever ready. Though he has been continuously cooking for hundreds of people, washing dishes and doing all those activities, he said, I am ready. I am always ready. He has spent some quiet time, some reflective time, always meditating about God because He is our hope. He understood that and He was ready all the time. Thirdly, in our hopeless situation, God alone is our hope. He is our answer. Ezekiel was called by God in the passage when you read verse 11. God was asking Ezekiel, do you know who these bones belong to? And God himself answered, these were all bones of the Israelites. They said their hope is gone. Their possessions are gone. They have been completely cut off from the Lord. Yes, the Israel nation was occupied or fought against by many enemies, and their wealth has been looted and all their possessions has been gone. But they missed one thing. During their desperate situation, did they remember to call upon God? The dry bones shows that how they have led their life with God. We need to ask God or the Holy Spirit to fill us all the time. Lord, keep us alert. We want to be a watchful people. We want to be the Spirit-filled people. We want to be breath-filled people. Let us ask in the coming week, Lord, we want to be your people. Amen.